Full of Sound and Fury is a podcast for adults, by adults, containing adult language. Listener discretion is advised.
So you posted something on Twitter earlier.
Okay.
What is that? Second viewing.
Yeah, okay, well, put a pin in that for 1 second. Let me open it up. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Full of Sound and Fury podcast. As you can tell, we've just come from seeing The Force Awakens. I'm Cyrus Mortazavi of Kirkland, Washington. Find most of my non-Star Wars related stuff at risingandproductions.tumblr.com. But do that some other time. With me tonight, it's going to be a podcast of two, which I think, given what's transpired, is probably appropriate.
Always two.
Yeah, no more, no less. The first episode of our thing 3 years ago was actually dealing with this very film that we're about to review, The Force Awakens.
Yes, nice.
With me from Marble Falls, Texas. Do I have that right?
No.
Dripping Springs. Okay. Perish the thought. Way different. Completely different.
I still have an Austin address. I made sure I still had an Austin address. So
okay. But it's a P.O. box.
I could say Austin and legally, technically be correct.
From the ATX, the greater metropolitan area of Central Texas, the one, the only, Keyshawn Xavier.
Oh, Bo-Dilja.
There we go. In triumph. I'm going to mention real quick in absentia the other members of our crew, Riyad Wabi of Portland, or just recently of Portland. He's, as we speak, I think, flying through the air. Not literally, on a plane to visit a family.
Star Wars!
And last but not least, Ariel Rodriguez of Kung Fu Conversations, coming back as a video podcast very soon in 2016. Be looking for that.
Do they, like, talk and do Kung Fu at the same time?
Not yet. But I've got high hopes for the video cast. Yeah.
Like that.
Just like that.
Exactly.
But, you know, we're an audio show. Only I can see that.
I hurt my back.
But it's majestic.
I wish you could screen capture that right there. Yeah, that'd be my new icon.
Oh, Hangouts does it automatically. That's going to happen. I'll send that to you. You only have to ask.
So our viewers are left waiting.
Yeah, listeners. This probably doesn't need to be said, but we're going to spoil the living shit out of Star Wars Episode 7, The Force Awakens. Oh. If you have not seen it, for the love of God, don't listen to this yet.
What are you doing listening to any podcast like this, of this nature?
Yeah,
if you're
no shit,
Star
right?
Wars on opening weekend.
He speaks truly. Go see the movie. We'll be here for you at fullofsoundandfury.com or via iTunes. Mm. And disclaimer. Okay. My first question is, you've been stalking this film. And I'm going to use the word stalk.
Yes.
Like Obi-Wan on a Fett.
That's good.
For 3 years. How much of this thing was an actual surprise to you, if any?
I walked a very fine line where I knew 80% of the movie in terms of, like, where it moved from the get-go in general, like, okay, first this, then this, and this, and this. But I completely avoided details of significance. So, for example, I didn't know that Kylo Ren was their son.
Okay.
I didn't know Han died, but as soon as they said a character is going to die, I was like, well, it's better for me to find out now and have 8 months to a year to make my heart ready so I didn't weep openly in front of God and everybody at the theater. Because there were many folks that were. At least here in Austin, there were grown men with beards that I saw crying. And that made me feel good. I don't know why, but
I had a woman. I had the girlfriend clutching at me as it was coming, because I think we all knew what was coming. I certainly knew how they, especially how they staged it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. As soon as he started walking out there. Yeah. And then, of course, Chewie just starting to, you know, tear through everybody.
Yeah.
that just makes it even worse, you know. And
mourning murder is the worst murder.
Which one?
Murder while you're mourning. That's the worst kind of murder.
Exactly. It's
and that's really effective. Anyway.
It's sad murder. You feel bad. The family dog just went insane. Just start killing everybody. So I, and then from that part, I knew about for Finn taking on, Kylo Ren. And then I stopped there and I said, okay, that's getting to, or anything after this, I'm not going to touch. And so I left the last 15, maybe 10% of the movie alone. I knew nothing there. I didn't know Luke was going to be at the very end and he wasn't going to be much in it. And I'm glad I found that out early because I'd have probably been like, where is he? Where's, you know, I'd have been losing my, every podcast would have been me just, why are they not marketing Luke more? This is a goddamn travesty. And, but I made my peace with it and kind of realized, you know, I would not be able to emotionally progress in 2 hours. It took me, you know, more like 2 years to get to where I'm comfortable with, oh, hey, this is really the first of a trilogy. There's an arc here. I wouldn't be able to make my peace with that in 2 hours. So I needed to spoil a little bit of this stuff in front of the movie so I could enjoy it for what it was. And, oh boy, I nailed it. Now, that being said, I have watched what you've been doing for the last 2 years, 3 years, in utter awe. I cannot believe it. You didn't see a trailer?
No, I saw the trailer. Bailed. Oh, yeah. I watched the trailers and the teasers. But after the full trailer came out 2 months ago, I tried to go as dark as I could.
Okay.
So, no, not like Dark Side. I mean, like social media blackout.
You saw the trailers, so did you know names? Did you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. All but right. I could tell they did not want me to know who these characters were because they were hiding those names as best they could.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, you know what? I'm going to respect that. If you're going to try and actually surprise me, I'm gonna let you do it.
Yeah, yeah. And the fact that they were able to pull it off as well as they did makes it like, okay, I'm willing to give that same go on episode 8.
So yeah.
I'm here to say that I may try and go spoiler-free for episode 8 for the first time in my life with a Star Wars movie. I don't know. Honestly, that's like kicking crack. I don't know if I'm going to be able to do it. I don't have anything.
No, just be like the guy in Jessica Jones. Just chain yourself next to the toilet.
Wait a minute.
Wait. Did I spoil Jessica Jones?
We got to talk about that too. Not as good as Star Wars, but we got to talk about that too.
That's been a good show.
That's not
okay. Bad. So, I'm glad I followed the policy that I made for myself. After the trailer, I was like, okay, this no more. And so I stopped reading a lot of my favorite sites. Read a novel actually to help you get through that.
What novel?
It served me well because Harrison Ford, of all people I discovered, dropped the biggest bomb on accident.
Really?
He was asked in a fan chat what his favorite scene was, and his response was Kylo Ren versus Rey. And they went out of their way to hide that.
Oh, I don't know. Yeah, to me, the biggest bomb would be Kylo Ren versus his dad.
Yeah, that's fair. That would have been a bigger spoiler, or the identity of Kylo Ren.
Yeah. But it is. You're probably right. Number two.
Yeah, but
Kylo Ren against Rey.
But, you know, they went out. I mean, in all of those posters, Finn has the lightsaber.
Mm-hmm.
They were trying to make it look like he was the antagonist.
I know. Yeah. Oh, man. That damn movie was so good. I'm reading the novel now. I'm actually – it speaks to how important this podcast is to me that I'm not reading that novel and I'm doing this.
People want to know what you had to think about it.
Because the novel has a whole lot of extra details. I mean, from
can I say I feel like I need them?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
I'm not sure that the novel adds a whole lot, which is pretty good. But you know, the old man at the beginning, the very first scene when they go there,
the old priest.
Poe Dameron's meeting with and they never give you a name, so they just say Max von Sydow, which is funny enough a great name for this movie, as all the names in the movie were.
So he's not credited in the credits with a fucking name.
I don't know that I've only been twice, so I haven't studied the credits that close. I should have, because then I would have seen Obi-Wan Kenobi in there.
No, I missed that. But I studied it because I couldn't figure out what the hell the name of the Supreme Leader was. I kept missing the name. Yeah, I was like, is Snoop? That can't possibly be correct.
I love it. It took time to grow on me.
So, oh yeah. I mean, Andy Serkis kills it, even though it's not really him, I guess. But
do you think that Snoke is really four stories tall, or do you think that that's just like a Palpatine?
I think that might be a holographic projection. I think that may, in fact, not be him.
What if he's this big? That would be awesome.
Snoke is in the mystery box for episode 8.
I'd be so happy if he was 2 inches tall and that thing was just being broadcast to four stories of height just to be looking awesome. That would be great.
Okay, so you were going to ask me something about something I had said.
Oh, yes. You said that you caught something on your second pass.
Yes.
That you didn't see in your first time through. What was it?
I didn't. There was a bit of dialogue I missed.
Can I guess?
Go for it.
I'm wondering if it's when he's reading her mind and he brings up the ocean and the island.
No, I caught that the first time.
You got that the first time? I completely missed that the first time.
But
what was yours?
When Supreme Leader Snoke addresses Kylo Ren as the leader of the Knights of Ren.
Oh yeah,
that is a huge deal. I feel like enough that I'll tell you right now. If you start to put in Knights of on Google, right. auto completes.
So that's one of those spoilers I've known for a long time, and I couldn't believe it just because it sounded so bizarre. The Knights of Ren. And it was really crazy, and it was like, man, really, the Knights of Ren? And then the trailer came out, and there was that shot of them.
Yeah.
And, of course, if you do like me and watch every frame of the trailer, and you see all the bodies behind them in the rain,
yeah,
that's when you pick up, oh, hey, he betrayed Luke, and them and the Knights of Ren all wiped out Luke's new Jedi Order.
Okay. Well, is that confirmed or just conjecture?
No, Han said that. In the movie.
Okay.
If you remember, he said that...
No, he does, but what I was unclear about and what I was tantalized by was the idea that maybe the Knights of Ren is not that same order of Jedi.
I have no idea. I was...
And I love that I don't know.
Well, yeah. if I think everybody's assumed at least that those are the Knights of Ren and that he came with them and wiped out...
Right, but I think that's an assumption.
That's true. You're right. Yeah. If it hadn't been spelled out, so I think anything is an assumption at this point.
Yeah.
A lot of folks have said, well, if they're knights, did he convert some of the other students along with him?
And right.
They all betrayed him, except he's the only one with a lightsaber. And did you notice that he killed one of the Knights of Ren?
Yes. Vision? Yes.
So that was... So the big, you know, that whole Force vision is just chock full of interesting shit.
Oh yeah.
She starts off in the hallway from Cloud City, and then she hears Darth Vader's breathing. She hears the lightsaber ignite. She hears Luke yell, "No!" I'm gonna miss some stuff. She hears Yoda say, "It's energy." She hears Obi-Wan say, "Rey, these are your first steps." I'm trying to remember the other things. What else?
We get Luke with his hand on.
Oh, that's right, and she sees
on R2.
I forgot the biggest part. Yeah, but here's the thing: in that vision, there were two things going on. There was the history of that lightsaber,
sure,
and the other thing were her memories of being drug away,
correct,
from her parents. So, a lot of folks, and me included, are wondering if she was there when the Knights of Ren destroyed the Jedi, and she was a little girl. And that's why she's there in that vision, and that somebody's about to kill her, and she's remembering this. And somebody's about to kill her, and Kylo Ren stops them from killing her.
Let me encapsulate that with a question back to you. Is Rey's last name Skywalker?
Oh, man. I have to think so.
Yeah.
Only because... It's so egregious that she doesn't have a last name that, you know, all the kids in the world will be hoping it, but be debating it. All the adults ought to look at this and be like, shit, if they're not saying the last name, really. And there's plenty of clues where when she's having that Force vision right before that scene, Han is talking with Maz Kanata. I haven't got all the names yet. They don't flow off the tongue like Lando Calrissian yet. I got to work on it.
They will.
That's right. They will. It's in the great. So Maz Kanata asks Han, "So who's the girl?" And then it cuts and it goes to blah blah blah. But what's interesting is that after she has the vision, she falls on the floor. Maz Kanata comes up to her, and all of a sudden, Maz Kanata knows that she was waiting for her parents on that planet. And she has all these details that obviously she must have gotten from Han, so Han must have known. And so yeah. I'm halfway fuzzy that or I'm not convinced, but it's certainly leaning that way that she would be either a Skywalker or at least a student of Skywalkers.
I'm looking at it from a pure writer's perspective. It seems unlikely that it's a coincidence that Anakin, Luke, Skywalker, and now possibly Rey Skywalker did not. It's all grew up wearing toilet paper on desert planets. Yes. As nobodies.
You're right. Before
becoming epic heroes.
Yeah.
And
it has always been that Star Wars is the story of the Skywalkers.
Right.
I mean, that's Lucas's quote. And I have to believe
that. I think he was in on it. He's been trying to pretend like, oh, they wanted to go a different direction from my story of family, so I had to leave.
I don't know.
Motherfucker.
A lot of the stuff I've heard sound like he had written a script and JJ tossed it. And him and Lawrence Kasdan got together and hashed it out several years
ago. That's what I've heard as well. But I don't know. They certainly did not go away from the Skywalker legacy. If nothing else, Ben is a Skywalker.
Yeah. So. I mean, they all, the build up, getting there to, Luke at the end. And I'm convinced that Luke didn't reach out and grab that lightsaber because I'm not sure he's – I think one of the first scenes in Episode 8, unless they do something where it's off somewhere else and then comes to it, is going to be Luke being like, no, I don't want to do it. Last time he tried, it ended up killing everybody. So I'm halfway suspicious that he's looking at that thing. And he don't look exactly overjoyed when he's standing there with that strained look on his face.
Yeah. Oh, he's pissed off that his hand keeps biodegrading. you can see it over time falling apart. He's like, why did they give me this shitty hand?
right. Now, here's a question. Why did R2 turn on at such a convenient time?
Well, the plot necessitated.
Well, obviously, yeah. Yes. If we go meta, yes. Yeah. Without a doubt, it's like, now's the time, R2. Oh, you got everything we need. The whole movie could have been created if R2 had woken up just 2 hours earlier. But, I'm curious as to why R2 at that moment woke up. There's got to be a story explanation for that. There's no way that such an egregious plot hole would be left just dangling like that for out of necessity.
I don't know. It's Star Wars.
You're right. And that makes it hard to discuss because it's like,
you drive a Star Destroyer through some of the holes in those films.
I know. But man, that's a pretty damn big one. I mean, is there anything else in the original trilogy, the 4, 5, and 6, that was that convenient? That convenient. Now it works. I'm not sure. I can't think of one that was just by necessity.
No, I rewatched them the week prior to it, just because it had been years, and I was like, okay, I need to refresh myself, and some thoughts from that. Quick tangent. I've forgotten, I was like, wow, Leia was kind of a badass. Everyone wants to, like, bitch about that gold bikini. It's like, nah, you're missing the whole thing here.
It was awesome. Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, that's, and having a daughter of my own, oh, man. This movie solved so many problems there. Because my daughter, at 7, has picked up on how all the really badass movies are about boys. And the girls are on the side. They may be doing badass things, but they're on the side. And this is absolutely the first one that is not Kill Bill, and I can't show her that. but it's absolutely the first one in that genre that is flat out the girl is the main line thing. She went dressed as Rey to the theater.
Yeah.
And it was great because at Halloween, nobody knew what she was dressed as. But it come to this thing, and God and everybody was getting their picture, and you know it was great. She absolutely loved it. And she was just like, yeah! cheering every time Rey did a mind trick. By the way, did you know that the stormtrooper that
his Rey, name was Spectre 007?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
Isn't that great? Yeah. Oh, I love that. So, anyway, I can't think of anything where it was just so convenient. There's got to be some kind of plot device there where R2 just happened to turn on. I'm suspicious that it's Rey's presence. Rey hadn't been there. I'm also the fact that Rey gets off the thing, off the ship at the end and has never met Leia, and Leia supposedly has never met her, and the two come up and hug each other. And I'm kind of like, that can't be just, you know, coincidence that, oh, Han died and you were there with him. I'll give you a hug. It's got to be more to it. Yeah.
So. Well, Leia knew of Rey from Finn.
Yeah, but I don't know that Rey knew of Leia.
Yeah, that, I mean, that's fair.
And for her to get out and look immediately at Leia. If anything, I was kind of angry that Chewbacca didn't get a hug. Chewbacca was off in a corner whimpering in the dark. Leah's hugging the lead. I will say this, that even if I hadn't spoiled, as much as Harrison Ford was marketing this film and knowing the background, I would have easily sussed out that Han was going to die, because Harrison Ford's wanted to kill Han since Empire Strikes Back.
Yes. That is very true. Which is why I was really shocked they got him back in the first place.
and was front and center in all the marketing and all the things, because it's his last time and he never has to do it again. So I would have picked up on that. Oh, let's see.
I enjoyed what they did there from a story perspective with that whole thing. They flipped the script, right, with Kylo Ren. This is the patricide thing all over again.
Yeah, but. It's really.
But this time he goes through with it to complete.
Yeah,
He
sees that Vader got seduced by the light side. That's amazing. I never thought of a character looking at it.
Yeah, Riyadh and I were talking about that right after it. I thought that was a fascinating way of looking at it.
No kidding.
I mean, and he himself was like, I'm worried I'm the margin of evil. I'm not truly evil enough. Yeah.
I was amazed at that. And then. What hit me as a dad, and I'm not playing the dad card, but it really did hit me as a dad. It's worth noting that after he stabs him and Han puts his hand back up on his son's face, even after he knows he's been killed by his son, it's like, I forgive you. And I'm sitting there going, yep, they nailed it. And then it made me feel really, really old, because I was like, oh God, now I'm watching Star Wars from the point of view of the old guy, not the young one. And that was I was marveling at how they made me do that. Like, son of a gun, I'm not watching it as the young guy. I'm watching it as the dad. And that was a neat little stroke that Harrison Ford added in there. And the acting across the board was good. There wasn't anybody I thought that was wooden or not believable. Freaking Poe Dameron. Oh, we got our new.
See, I didn't love him, but he was
really?
Very and he was very one note, and they clearly wanted me to love him, and I just was like, eh.
Well, yeah, there wasn't any depth to him.
Not no, yet. Zero.
He's a pilot for the resistance. Yeah. That's it.
And it's all about giving it everything we got.
What had me, other than the excitement of them breaking out together and where they were talking with each other, because that was very. Genuine. Oh, and the fact that he was a smartass right off the bat. I like that. Because none of the prequels had a smartass. Not one. There were no smartasses. And that was Star Wars to me. It always had to have that one, like, somebody that represented us that wasn't just holy hog ball.
Well, I mean, the whole thing. He was trying. It fell flat. They just weren't written very well.
Oh, I liked it. But what really sold me was the shot. It was a Steadicam shot. I shouldn't say Steadicam because it was digital effects, but it was a single shot showing him flying that fighter like just wiping people out in one steady, just
right, right, out. Yeah.
Oh man, I was just like, how come nobody has done that shot before in all the fan movies, cartoons, and blah blah blah? No one's ever done a steady shot like that, and yeah. The fact that they could come up and do something new in Star Wars was amazing. I thought that every trope and every shot and everything that we've ever could see or will see has been done over the last 30 years. And the fact that
we got all the tropes.
Oh yeah.
I think sometimes to a fault.
Yeah, yeah, but that's Star Wars.
I'm kind of well. Does it have to be? I'm kind of done with like lasers that blow up planets.
Well,
what else do you got?
I got the feeling that they might be done with it too. there wasn't anything else that you would think. One would think that took them, you know, all this time to build. And unless, yeah, maybe the next one they'll be building.
There's your plot hole, by the way. How the fuck did no one know this thing was going down?
Which thing?
That Starkiller Base was being hollowed out of the side of a planet. I mean, ugh. Bleh.
Well, the only thing I can think of is it must be mobile, which doesn't really make much sense. But if you design something, if you design something that sucks the guts out of a star and then shoots that star at other planets, this is either a one-trick pony and you're shooting that sucker one time because you've got one star next to you, and then that planet's done. So it's either got to move it, or this was their whole load was just this one. All right, we're digging in here, boys, and we're going to take our one shot.
Yeah. So confirm something for me, if you know, was that Coruscant they blew up?
I don't know. I haven't gotten to that part of the book.
Okay, isn't it weird that we don't know that?
I really don't know. I feel like we should
know. I don't know why we don't know.
I will say that they blew up the Capitol, but I don't think the Capitol's Coruscant anymore.
Okay.
I do know that the canon is that they moved the Capitol to the planet that Mon Mothma's from.
Okay.
Sadly enough, I don't actually know the name of this.
Sadly.
in the old days, I'd have known this stuff. But now, I'm doing pretty good to even know this much. But the Capitol's been moved to a different place. And that whole background, and I don't know how much you picked up on, because it really wasn't in. I like the fact that it wasn't in the movie because you just run with it. But the Republic.
No, I did not like that. I'm going to be honest. I don't understand this power structure that is at the center of this galactic conflict, and that seems like a problem to me.
I actually like it better than the expository of explaining all that shit, because that's what episode one did. And
but episode four did not.
That's right. Four didn't.
You can do it deftly.
Yeah, yeah. And I like the fact that you just leap in and go. And if you want to find out more, it's out there. You can read the books and the comics and blah, blah, blah. But they're not going to spend 30 minutes of the film sitting around explaining galactic politics.
And how about 1 minute? I wanted a minute.
Yeah.
That's all I'm asking for.
Yeah, and I think at that level.
You're right. Like, don't do the Phantom Menace era mistake where you make the half the film about that.
That's
and then another quarter of the film is about a car race for some reason.
God. It hurts us, it burns.
And then there's like 20 minutes of shit that actually matters.
Exactly, exactly. Interspersed. not even randomly. Sequential 20 minutes. It's broken up in pieces. But the background, I mean, you do get there's a First Order, there's a Resistance. And for everybody.
Why is the Republic backing a Resistance?
So
I do not understand this at all.
They're not openly backing it. So the trick is, and it's totally understandable, and the books actually set this up. That book Aftermath that came out about 3 or 4 months ago sets this up. Because, I mean, and it literally picked, the argument starts damn near to the day after they kill the Emperor, that they're like, the first thing we're doing is we're getting rid of the giant navy and army that the Republic has. That was how we were, how everybody was beaten down was because we'd created this grand army. So they dissolved it, and they made that the Republic would not have an army anymore. And Leia actually opposed, the reason why she's not the leader of the Republic is because she opposed that. She was like, we have to have some kind of army. We don't have to have an intergalactic army, but we need something. And it became a split where the Republic went off and did its thing, but with no army. And it was back to the way it was before Emperor Palpatine. But Leia, supposedly secretly backed by some members of the Republic who were funding her, basically built up her own type of army to resist the remnants of the Empire that have been slowly whittling around, whittling down. And then this First Order came about, and they're building, the Empire's rebuilding a new power structure. And Leia is basically...
It sounds heavily inspired by ISIS.
What?
It sounds heavily inspired by ISIS.
Yeah. In a way. It's like, yeah, well, we got to have something to oppose this. And yeah. So it's kind of showing Leia's foresight that you had to have something. You couldn't just say no to all armies and Navy and Imperial Navy or Space Navy, whatever you want to call it. You just can't say no to all that. And she was 30 years ahead of her time. And now the Republic found out the hard way that they should have had some type of defense put up because they just got their capital planet wiped out and several other planets. So I think that's why there's a Republic and there's a Resistance, is that there's two separate things. And those are laid out in the book. I mean, that's they laid that out.
But see, this is where I'm confused. They reference a Republic fleet in the film. So I don't – I'm just like, what the fuck?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
You're right. They did reference a Republic
fleet. What in the shit?
What the hell did that mean? I have no idea.
Yeah. I guess that was my biggest critique at the movie, is it's got a little bit of pacing problems. There's parts where it's like, you need to slow down a little bit. I mean, what the fuck just happened? Other parts, like, it's the, oh my god, I get it. You don't want to fight. She wants to fight. Can we just move on with this Dawson's Creek shit?
Hey, I feel like at the end of the day, there's nothing I can complain about. It's the exact opposite of The Phantom Menace. As much opposite as it could be in every way of The Phantom Menace. And the faults that come along with that, I'm willing to accept.
Yeah.
I'll take this 10 times out of 10 over what could have been the opposite. If this is the best we get, I could be totally happy with that. Even with all these holes and gaps and things like that. Mm-hmm. For me, every one of these things are better questions and things to quibble and argue about than the god-awful nightmare that was the prequels. 80% of the prequels. And that this stuff can all be fixed with additional expository and subsequent movies. This is the first one. And so a lot of this stuff, it got the ball rolling and it moved really fast to get it. It just hit the ground spinning and sent it off. And with so many questions out there, I love Rian Johnson's going to get a chance to take a first crack at this. I really wish, I'm assuming that we're going to get episode 10, 11, and 12. I'm also curious as to how much we're going to get about 6.25, 6.5, and 6.75, because I would love to find out what happened in the last 30 years and how much of that is going to be told in 8 and 9. You know, that's I'm a little fuzzy there, because part of me wants to see what happened in the past 30 years that set all this up. Why did Kylo Ren go bad? What happened to Rey? You know, those are questions to be answered, but you don't want them to focus too much on the past. It needs to have its own story.
This was the problem with the prequels.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. And so now we're moving ahead, and they can fill in some of the background. So the 30-year leap is great. They can kind of add it, but it makes me scratch my head going, well, I wonder how much that in the interim they're going to have novels and comics and all the other things that they can fill in those 30 years. What they're going to be allowed to do and what they're not going to be allowed to do.
It's a very dark and sad film in a lot of ways. That, you know, after all these things they went through, 30 years later, it's everything's shitty again.
I know. Yeah, that was the first thing when I really got spoiled and found out everything.
Han and Leia are divorced.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm a homicidal maniac. Luke is in exile because whenever the going gets tough in a galaxy far, far away, the Jedi's go into self-imposed exile. It's what we do.
It's like I saved the universe once.
Yeah, no more.
I have done what needed to be. Yeah.
I fought Palpatine to a draw. I got to give up. No low swap.
It's really tough. It's because I do have a hard time.
Hey, wait for a new generation of kids to be born and raised.
Yeah. And, you know, here's Luke, the hero of all heroes that we've all grown up with, that at some point said, fuck it, I'm out. That's it. I'm going to a hill.
Yeah.
I'm going to stare into the abyss. Hey, did you get the impression that he was looking at a little funeral stone that he made?
No, I don't know what the fuck he was looking at. That whole scene was bizarre.
It was, but down at the left, if you look where he's standing and he's looking away, when you just see the hooded figure looking away, down to the left is a little stone that's propped up on top of a couple other stones. I'm using my hands, but it looks like a little homemade rock burial. What am I trying to say? Not burial. Tombstone.
Yeah, but for all we know, that could be his bathroom. Yeah. It looked like he was living the life on that island.
He was peeing off a cliff like a castaway.
That could be his Robo Wilson, since R2 turned himself off. I don't know.
Yeah. I wonder why he had to leave R2 behind.
So the plot could move forward.
Well, again, you answer with the meta. I'm trying to... I'm going hardcore geek on the actual, like,
yeah, story. No, I gotcha.
Why he would go, you know, it's hard. Again, it's really hard to come up with an answer that isn't your answer. I understand. Because he had to. Because I must. So, yeah. A whole lot of these questions that come to mind.
I'm glad I saw it twice. Because I came out of the first one, my biggest problem with it, let me state unequivocally, I don't actually have a big problem with anything in this movie. But it didn't feel like it stood very well on its own, because that last scene is so bizarre. So much so that I think even Abrams at least subconsciously knew it. Because it's got that weird helicopter propel shot as they go out. It's like,
you're absolutely right.
It's, just like, it's because it's just awkward that they're just standing there looking at each other.
I know. The only thing I could think of was that, and this is stretching it, was it going back to the ocean and the island thing, and he was trying to hammer home the ocean and island thing, because that to me is one of the, when I heard it in the movie, it was the second time I watched it, when I caught that Ray had seen the ocean, the island, and I'm sitting there going, how does Ray know anything about the ocean and the island? I really don't know. It wasn't in the vision.
Yeah,
but if Kylo Ren is probing her mind and he sees the ocean and the island, what the hell is that? Has she been there before? And so I thought,
that's the thing, right? I mean, it speaks to, like, you know, maybe she's a Skywalker and she was sent there to be hidden.
So the second time I was watching it, as soon as I reached that moment where I asked that question, I remembered that the guy that directed this also did Lost, and I was like, okay. This is some Machiavellian shit that he's setting up for all the other directors and writers to play with. And I thought maybe that last shot where they fly around, because it is so weird. Why? You don't need it. You don't.
Yeah, no.
And the only thing I can think of was he knows he's about to hand all his toys and he ain't coming back to directly play with them. I know he's executive producer and going to be there helping the story along to be consistent and all that, which is great. Well, that's wonderful. But I had to think that he wanted to get one last thing in that was like, aha, you know, but aha, you know, and it was that view of the ocean and the island being the final shot, the ocean and the island, that was, if out of everything that was laid out, if that wasn't one of the big tease, clues, whatever, that he laid in the movie, and he was just hammering it with that. Because I can't think of another damn reason to have that job.
Well, my cynical take was, he was like, this is a bad scene nothing happens. I've got to do something to make it visually interesting.
But it went even worse. I mean, it's like...
To the back copter.
It's like, it looks at Ray. Where's my camera? There. It looks at Ray.
Yeah,
it
I know.
It looks at Luke for 3 seconds too long. Then it goes back to Ray. And then it goes back to Luke.
Yeah, it's super weird. And it's just like... Wow, they didn't have an ending for this thing.
And then I thought maybe it can't just end there with her just like this. Yeah. And so he's like, wrap her up. And so just get a helicopter, boys. and go flying around. And I know that that was one of the scenes that they did reshoots on. So they were reshooting 3 months ago or something like that. It's Skellig
Michael. Oh, that's really interesting.
Yeah. And, well, they're also still filming. Well, they filmed some stuff for episode 8 there, too.
Correct.
So, and that's confirmed because there's pictures of Mark Hamill, like, serving beer in Ireland behind a giant pint of something that he's, like, serving beer out of. So, that's the only thing that I can logically come up with. And, you know, this will be great because we've got this recorded and we'll be able to, like, look back in 3 years or 6 years, either two. In nine or 8 or 9, and see if that meant a damn thing or if we're just jerking off.
It could be that they were maybe they showed too much, and maybe that's why he picked the awkward angle to hide stuff from us. Because you're over there, like, looking at rocks, like, with way too much intense.
Well, I thought he picked up that Han had died.
Is that a gravestone or is that his breakfast? I don't know what I'm looking at.
It's 3 P's. I like that. You know that now every time I watch that movie, I'm going to think of Mark Hamill pissing on that rock forever until my dying day. And I love this movie. I'm about to see it once a week until it goes out of theater. Oh,
it was. I really enjoyed it.
It's also been confirmed that in the Vision, when the voice says Ray, that's Alec Guinness's voice. But when it says these are your first steps, that's Ewan McGregor's.
Hmm.
And I just think it's awesome that they had both Obi-Wans in
there. Yeah,
good on them. So neat. And then Yoda, they had Yoda in there. And there's another scene that hadn't been studied as much. There's a lot of times in this movie where when she's doing something with the Force, there's this whispering going on. And I cannot wait for the Blu-ray to come out so all the audiologists in the world can start taking this thing apart, just like the Zapruder film, be studying this shit, just parsing out the noise and getting the signal. You know, you get wobby on this, you know, and get in there and filter it. And figure out what the hell is being whispered, because I'm convinced it's in there. But I even with two viewings, I haven't been able to watch it and catch what it is that's being said.
Did you find it funny?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
That's not how the Force works. Let's just use the Force. That would have been me, yes. Let's use the Force.
Yeah, that was one of the sadder aspects of the films, how old both he and Carrie Fisher are now.
I know.
I can't even recognize her voice.
I was actually amazed more that Carrie Fisher wasn't Carrie Fisher. You know, I've seen Carrie Fisher over the last 20 years as she's gotten old, and I know what she talks like and what she moves like and acts like. But when she was in this movie, to me, it was she really did get an old, well, obviously old. She nailed the old part. No.
But yeah, it's very old.
She got Leia back. And I was actually curious because the way she looked and the way she moved her mouth and everything when she talked, it was just like that was looking at Leia again. And I thought, son of a bitch, the lady can still act. It's either that or there was a lot of good digital editing going on to youthen their features somewhat to get them to look more alike because, you know, she's got older eyes and you squint, you know, and her eyes were just wide open and brown like they were when she was 20. And I was just sitting there going, my God, they nailed it. And, oh, come on, when Han slowly kind of hitches up his get up and marches towards that ship that had just landed and the people are coming out and he's kind of looking in, you know, and looking in. And then she comes out and they have that moment where their eyes lock and then 3PO pops in and says, Han Solo! Man, that was great. The fact that I wasn't expecting it, and then they nailed it, and I'm like, I totally should have expected that. That's perfect. Yeah. I love that. And so I thought
it needed the levity.
Yes.
Like we said earlier, it's pretty dark.
Oh yeah, yeah it is. And BB-8 was spectacular. The fact that Disney and Pixar and all these people can continuously crank out new things that kids that don't even have the capability to speak immediately gravitate to. And that you can hit some kind of fundamental something there where my 2-year-old, who's just getting words, you know, he can kind of start rattling, boy, he's all about, like, take me with you. I want to see Star Wars, that kind of thing. I didn't take him. I took the other two. But, oh, and that was great. Just sharing a new Star Wars movie with my kids. I never thought I'd be able to do that. That was freaking a blast.
The acting was good. I'm glad you mentioned that.
Oh!
Which we've never, ever said during a Star Wars film before.
No, I thought Finn's entire progression of just his freak out at the beginning. And Kylo Ren, Adam Driver. Holy crap, did he nail that or what?
I finally understood why he had, not only was he a good cast, it had to be him.
Yeah.
If you're making a character that's emo teenage Vader, the boyfriend from Girls, that's who you go with.
Angsty, yes.
And he crushed it.
He got he did better than Anakin. He really did.
Yeah, but...
Yeah, I mean, it's not that hard, but yeah. I mean, that acting, particularly, you know, when he was interrogating Rey, when he was, frankly, every time he spoke, he carried that just the right amount of whatever. It didn't come off as bitchy, whiny teenager.
No, the internal conflict they were positing the whole film, you could see it. And yeah. You could see it in the way in his manner. He did a great job.
Now, did you hear, and I heard this the first time, and then I confirmed it the second time, that he's talking to Vader, and he says, show me again.
Yeah.
I want to know, has Vader been talking to him?
Or is it Snoke?
Well, no, but he's talking to his grandfather, and says, grandfather, show me again the power of the blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And I'm like, again? And I turned to my wife, and I was like, he said again. And so that led me to believe that something's already happened. And when we live in a world of Force ghosts and visions, anything's
right.
And so, you know, little things like that, where he said, you know, he said again, these little things that just are laid in there that I'm like, son of a bitch, you know, how much, you know, when you start asking the question, what is it that turned him when he's the nephew of the saint of the whole world, and his parents are leaders of the free galaxy, and all the blah blah blah. And what made him go bad? And then,
this movie left us with a lot of interesting stuff to ponder for 2 years.
Oh yeah,
I think that really is the best thing I can do to praise it.
Who do you think? Now I can tell you his name from the novel. It's like Lor San Tekka. That means absolutely nothing to me. But that's the name of Max von Sydow's character, is Lor San Tekka. But there's all this implication that he's somebody of significance from the past.
Right. Yeah. No idea.
I have a foggy. I was like, is it Boba Fett? And I was like, no. And then I'm asking you.
Well, I'm hoping that I don't have to go back to my cynical stock answer, because the plot needed him to.
No, I don't.
I hope there's something deeper going on there.
There's got to be.
But I don't know what it could possibly be.
Well, I mean, you know, he says she's always going to be royalty to me. And I thought, oh, they were able to write elegance. How awesome is that? And the novel actually gives a little bit of, like, he's a badass, like a former badass. And, like, Poe Dameron's thinking about how this guy used to be a real badass. Yeah. But I still tried to think through all the Clone Wars, the prequels, because one of the earliest leaks was that, that was confirmed, was that he was a character from the prequels. And I'm like, who the hell could that possibly be? Now, I was actually hopeful that Snoke would turn out to be Jar Jar.
I hope that's a joke.
No, I would have loved that. have you heard that theory?
Is this the one you were telling me was like so out there that... No, I have not heard that theory.
You haven't heard this theory?
No, oh my God.
Okay, well...
Internet, once again, you have exceeded my lowest expectations of you.
look.
Go ahead, lay it on me.
I gotta say that... it's hard to speak with a serious voice, but I will say, I really like it. I really like it. Somebody came up with the idea that Palpatine was not the number one in charge, it was Jar Jar. And that... the entire premise from the get-go was going to be that Jar Jar was actually the Phantom Menace. And it was going to play out in 2 and 3 where he was actually the one over Palpatine. And that this all, and dude, I know, make that face, I'm telling you. But they then walk through, and there's now a video that they made where they compiled like all the evidence for why Jar Jar would be this bad Sith. And it starts off as like, what's the first thing you see Jar Jar actually do as an action in the Star Wars movie? He does a quadruple flip into the water. And the only other characters we've ever seen in the entire Star Wars universe that could do shit like that were Jedi and Sith. And then it proceeds to talk about how, you know, he got promotions 3 times in the movies, and every time he was waving his hand like this when he got promoted. And so it shows the boss Nass. So he used to be Bombad General. Well, Jar Jar's doing this while boss Nass says that. And then when he's a representative, and he's made a representative, does this. And then when he's in the in episode 3, when he proposes a big Bombad army, he does his arms like this to the whole Senate and is doing that. And then it talks about how the theory is that he was playing the fool to be involved in all the things that were going on, but that Lucas ultimately was going to have him be the big bad behind Palpatine, but chickened out after the reaction in the first movie, and then created Dooku on the fly because the reaction to how stupid Jar Jar was, Lucas backed out. And I just thought, boy, at first the idea was just so out there and so hysterical that it's a fun read to look at. They started a website for it somewhere. I think if you just Google like Darth Jar Jar or something like that, which
I'll grant you it's creative, but beyond that, I felt a bit like Greg Kinnear at the end of Billy Madison. We're all stupider for having heard this. At no point did you come close to answering the question. I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
I got to tell you, I'm pretty sure that was one of the reactions when this was proposed. But, if they'd actually gone through with it like that, that would have made the stupidity at least a little bit more tolerable, I guess.
And they're bad enough as it is.
Oh, yeah. That's...
Listen, it's a cute idea, I guess, if I'm being nice about it. Oh, but
I would have loved it if Snoke turned out to have been Jar Jar. Oh,
no, I'm super curious about that character. I hope he does not. I'm real excited to find more about him in episodes 8 and perhaps 9.
No, let me, maybe I've done a bad job here or something, because I'm coming at this from a totally different angle than you. You've seen the movie, and then you hear me explain this. You got to understand, for the last 2 years, the only information that was out at all about Snoke was that he was a lizard-like creature. And kind of had the elongated neck and reptilian-like features. And I'm pretty sure that was part of the whole Darth Jar Jar thing, that what inspired it was hearing that rumor leak and then going, shit, that sounds like Jar Jar. Somebody out there, one person.
Sounds like I'm down again. One.
Yeah. And so that's why I think, you know, obviously we got that, but it wasn't Jar Jar. But for the
time, here, here.
For the last, I don't know, I think this theory came out like 6 or 8 months ago or something like that. But I think it was around then. It was on Reddit's where it originally happened. And, man, it flipped the internet over for a week or so.
Jar Jar Binks is a diabolical Sith Lord. My God.
Oh, so anyway.
I'm going to figure out how much of that I want to leave in, if any of it.
No, I think it's worth leaving in just to show that it was dead wrong, but I would love to hear, I would love to have the one guy that would, it would be me if I ever had the opportunity, because I think it'd be hysterical to ask George Lucas if that was his original intent. And just to, because my bet
just is George Lucas, disgust that it would engender.
Exactly. You know, you'd have to, yeah. I can't imagine that any self-respecting human has asked or even brought up the subject of Darth Jar Jar to George Lucas.
Listen, there's a reason the man lives on a goddamn ranch by himself. Like, he's just like, oh god, fucking fanboys.
I know, but I would ask him. I totally would.
These guys who can't like dress themselves are judging me. How dare you?
If I had the chance, I would introduce him to my children, and then I would ask him. So, Darth Jar Jar.
No, listen. I'm a real boy. I got kids. I pay my taxes.
I'm a grown, hairy-ass man, and I want to know if you intended for Jar Jar to be the ruler of all the Sith. If for no other reason than I'm convinced that he would remember that question over the thousands of other ones he gets. Maybe not, but
that's a possibility of the stupidest thing he's ever heard. I think it's a play.
I really think so. And if I could be the one that asked it, I would take that. I totally would. I would do it. So, anyway.
So, over asking is something truly insightful.
I think all of those have been asked. Could you really ask anything insightful of Star Wars that has not been asked yet?
Let me muse upon that.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I'm sure I'm forgetting good stuff.
I saw a Clickhole Link article today that I didn't follow that suggested that Finn's parents may have been revealed. Did you see that?
I saw the picture of him as a baby on the monitor. And I saw
that.
And I saw the FN2187. But
no, I just saw a picture of John Boyega holding a lifesaver.
No, the part where Snoke asks, or somebody says, we're trying to hunt down, or maybe it was Captain Phasma, but one of them is looking into the background of Finn. Like, did he have any hints that he was going to do this?
Right.
And it's a see-through monitor on the bottom left of the screen. So if you're looking at me, no. That bottom left to you? Bottom left.
It doesn't matter. Continue.
It's a see-through monitor and it's backwards.
Okay. So
all the text is backwards. Obviously, as soon as the Blu-ray comes out or if somebody sneaks a camera, this image will get leaked and somebody will be able to flip it and you'll be able to read what it says. But it has a picture of a young, I'm assuming it's a young John Boyega that they edited into the movie, and it's not just random black child. That would seem terrible. I would hope that they would be like, hey, do you have a picture of you as a kid that we could use? And they didn't just go, ah, they all look alike. That's horrible.
Oh, yeah.
I would hope they would not do that. Hopefully. And I, the quick glimpse I got, I thought it was actually a picture of him as a little kid. But it says a lot that I spotted it at all. It says a lot that somebody else out there was able to read that shit backwards in the split second that it was shown on the screen and figure out that his parents were revealed. That's did you see? You didn't follow the link?
Hell no.
Why not?
Well, I don't want to know. And plus, I would get like 20 ads I don't care about just to do it.
Oh, man. You got to follow those things. You got to go down a rabbit hole, see how deep it goes.
No, because then I start like positing for 10 minutes that Jar Jar Binks is, you know, a criminal mastermind. No good comes of this.
You're gonna end up here with me. Look at them! I'm at the bottom of the rabbit hole. Hey, there's Keyshawn.
Yeah, yeah.
Now we've established where Keyshawn lives.
Someone get me out of that hole. No, I like my hole. It's infinite possibilities down here.
Hey, look, it's company. Did you click on that link? Yeah. All right, now I'm looking.
Yeah, I clicked on Charlie Murphy's link.
Yeah, I did. Oh, wait a minute.
Have you seen that GIF on the internet? from
great start.
Oh, it's magnificent. Because I'm asking because I can't find it again. And I want it so badly. It's from 1979 when they were shooting Empire Strikes Back, and Carrie Fisher is playing in the fake snow on the Hoth set, and she's just throwing it up with her hands, and she has this look of just pure joy, and the caption that photoshopped in is, "I fucking love cocaine." I saw it once on Twitter, and I can't find it again. It just kills me. It's just the best.
You'll like this. It's a 1,000-piece Force Awakens jigsaw puzzle in a collectible tin. That's not what's exciting, but the image on it lists him as being Lando Calrissian's son. I hope that's not the case.
Yeah, me too.
Unless he...
I assumed if he had a famous father, quote-unquote, Lando was the last black man in the galaxy, so...
Well, right. Or that there's hundreds of children of Lando Calrissian. I'll be okay with that, too. Yeah, he created his own little clone army.
Out of his pants.
Out of, now, come on.
No, yeah, I'm in on that. I would ship that.
I'd be like, all right, you got it. Perfect. Now, the fact that Lando just let his son get kidnapped.
Yeah, no choice.
You realize I'm going to have to buy 1,000-piece The Force Awakens puzzle and put it together just to see if I can find this.
What else are you going to do in the rabbit hole?
That's right. That's Christmas break. It's dark down here.
Oh, my God.
Oh, here's the Amazon.
So did your wife enjoy it? Or was it like with my girlfriend, where her favorite part of the movie was the Zootopia trailer?
Oh, man. No, my wife loved it. She has, other than the fact that my wife, when, you gotta understand, my wife got really into the geek stuff. I kind of brought her into it. She was a big Star Wars fan already. I knew I was going to, I'd already proposed to her by the time I found out she could quote Return of the Jedi, like for every line that Leia has. And I was like, yep, I chose the right one. But even so, she really started getting the geek stuff when I like started, you didn't know that, notice the details of the movie Aliens. Well, let's go back and watch it, you know. And then it's like, oh, that's badass. But we immediately like got into Buffy, and that was really the gateway drug for my wife. Buffy was the one that like where you get the installments, but an overall arch and the big bad and all the subtle little things that are going on. And she got hooked. And then it was Battlestar or Angel, then Battlestar, blah blah blah. But having been raised by Whedon, she is very much, when those things happen, when they kill the thing you love, she gets very angry. And she loves it, but she's angry. And this is a female, I guess it's a female thing. It's certainly my wife thing. And I interpret all females by my wife. But she burns with a simmering rage. And so when they killed Han, you know, at least for the first couple days after the movie, she couldn't get past that. She goes, I love the movie, but I'm so angry that they killed off Han. And I'm like, but it was such a great way to do it. And she's like, oh, yeah, absolutely. I'm just mad that they killed Han. And just like literally somebody murdered her friend. And honestly, yeah. Half of me feels the same way. But I've also been like living with it for 2 years now. I've known for about that long. Maybe.
I have the definitive antidote to this feeling. Sit her down in front of the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
Oh.
And she understands why this had to happen. Yeah. They didn't kill Han, they euthanized him.
That's right. Before this could happen.
Harrison Ford, much like Kobe Bryant, does not understand that he's old and cannot do these things anymore.
Wow, man. I'm trying to... I think you nailed the title.
Well, I offended all nations with that one, I suspect.
I think the name of this episode is Kobe. With an exclamation point. Kobe! That's totally it. Yes, you're right. It could be done so much worse. So much worse.
He could just be in episode 7 through, 14. That would not be any better.
Right. So, now we have a year to wait until... wait a minute. I don't want to wrap up on The Force Awakens until we need to wrap up on it. What have we forgotten to talk about that was awesome? Captain Phasma getting put down a garbage chute. I love that.
But has been confirmed she's coming back.
It has?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, man, she has the special silver armor that protects you from the garbage compactor.
I love the whole Boba Fett. Build her up and then easily dispose of her. I thought that was awesome. I love that actress, and I love that you get the feeling of a badass, and you don't even see it. You just get that is a badass. And the fact
which is more great acting that Gwendolyn Christie was able to like. Show that much presence. Dressed up like a aluminum foil.
right, yeah. And I love the fact that the armor did not have boobs. And there was more than just her. She wasn't the only female. There was another female stormtrooper that was reporting that when Kylo Ren said, the longer she goes, the more power she's gaining. And that was a female stormtrooper. And I'm just sitting there going, yes, this is great. Yeah. I think it's interesting that they're having to build their empire by stealing babies. That they're, you know, they, like they said, all of them are taken as children.
They're janissaries, yeah.
Yeah, man, that's interesting. You see, there's a whole angle there. Mm-hmm. General Hux. What's the name of Domhnall Gleeson? I thought he was really good.
Yeah.
I don't know that...
He's no Moff Tarkin. I still miss Peter Cushing, but...
Well, my God, man. I mean, to point at Domhnall Gleeson and say, you're no Peter Cushing, well, shit.
Yeah.
Half the planet.
There's still time. He's got two movies, right?
But, yeah, I mean, who would you be able to go to at this point that could pull that off other than... Ooh. Well, no, you couldn't have done that. I was going to say...
The actor was fine. Yeah. They haven't done much with the character yet, so I'm saying.
Did you think it was interesting that there weren't a whole lot of older men in the First Order? Did you notice that? To me, it's...
I did not notice it, but you're right. And it speaks to the fact that it's a recent... It's a recent phenomenon.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting, that they were all younger. Mm-hmm. I thought... I've seen some complaints online about some of the jokes that, you know, shouldn't have been there, and I'm like... Hell, as dark as that movie was, it needed as many jokes as possible.
Yeah, yeah, and, I kind of agree.
You know, the two stormtroopers turning the corner and seeing the
storm. You know, that was great. But once again, I have the definitive antidote for this scenario. Sit those people down in front of the Phantom Menace.
I know. Right.
Yeah, well, yeah. You know what? This is what you can have this, or you can shut up. What do you want?
You can almost do that with every movie that's come out in the last decade. Doesn't even have to be Star Wars. Just say, look, I know that was bad. Look, yeah, that was a bad
You didn't movie. Like Man of Steel? Here's Superman 3.
Right, exactly. No, here's the Phantom Menace.
Keep bitching, dickhead. I'll show you Superman 4.
That was good. That was better. You're right.
Tron Legacy wasn't as good as the original. Really? Watch the original.
I liked Finn's crush on Rey. Mm-hmm. I thought that was done well. He kept grabbing her hand to run. I just thought that was hysterical. And, I thought it was a really good writing.
He didn't know how to be a hero.
Well, yeah, but when the look on Rey's face, when she turns that corner and in the cavern and runs into them, mm-hmm. and she's like, what are you doing here? And he says, we came back for you. Well, I mean, that's totally... No one's ever come back for her because her parents have never come back or anything. And that look she gives right there and just immediately just grabs him. I was like, that was some good writing right there. That was really good. I thought that was a neat little play, you know, that they flipped that where he came back for her. I do think that it's awful harsh that she left him recovering in a coma to go get Luke.
Well, she had to go shoot the most confusing scene ever.
Right. Yeah. What do you think Rey is going through Rey's head when she gets up there like, son of a bitch, here's Luke.
Yeah. It's just...
Nothing.
Just, like, she's trying to make friends with a gorilla.
Yeah.
It could have been a banana and a monkey.
That's right.
And it would have worked just the same.
It would have. Same look. Same confused look. Damn it.
Maybe more flailing, but otherwise pretty much the same.
Hey, did you see on Twitter where somebody sent a message to Mark Hamill saying, how did you feel when you read through the Force Awakens script for the first time and saw that you didn't have any lines? What Mark Hamill's response was?
No.
Speechless.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, that's a good dad joke right there. That was good. Oh, but yeah, James Bond had more lines than Luke.
Getting paid to do nothing. Ooh-ah.
That's right. just had to look.
I put on a bathrobe and I grow a beard. Oh, I was doing that anyway.
I guess the only part that kind of, I mean, obviously it feels neat to see Luke again. But when they had the wind blowing his hair, and this sound, man, it sounds like I'm a 14-year-old girl saying this, but when he's standing there and the wind's blowing his hair,
mm-hmm.
I don't know what it was about the wind blowing his hair, but immediately I thought back to when he's standing on that slope with the two suns looking out at him, and the wind's blowing his hair there. And that could just be because I've watched that so long, But hell, I've seen Mark Hamill in a thousand things. I guess I've never noticed his hair blowing before, but damn if I didn't spot it there the first time watching that. And I was just like, oh, it's Luke! You know, and because of the hair blowing. That's so stupid. But that's what did it for me. It wasn't Mark Hamill. It was his hair blowing. Just like that. Ever so. You know, maybe it's just because I don't have any hair. And so I gravitate, you know. I'm checking out what everybody's hair is.
Oh, no, as I've gotten older, I definitely notice guys who have, like, magnificent hair. So let's do our versus segment real quick. Okay. I got the versus question for you, and it's all on you. No one's here to help you. No, right. no net, no nothing, all right?
Jesus.
You nervous yet?
Yes.
Who had the best acting performance in The Force Awakens, Daisy Ridley or Adam Driver?
Adam Driver.
Yeah, that's where I would go as well.
Maybe this is just the comic book side of me or the geek side of me, but all the best stories are the ones that have the best villain. Dark Knight Returns. When you get the villain right, then it makes it, everything else becomes easy. Not easy, but easier. And if you got to get a good villain, you know, Terminator 2. That little liquid thing that Arnold went up against, and the Predator. You know, you had to invent some of the most badass shit ever to make Arnold look like he was just even that much more of a badass. Yeah. And all those movies had as good a bad guy as you could come up with. Yeah. And so Adam Driver had a whole lot to step into with freaking Emperor Palpatine, the bad guy of the whole goddamn galaxy, Darth Vader, the father, the betrayer, the blah, 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 wiped out all the Jedi. Jesus Christ, how do you come up with a bad guy?
Yeah.
To supplement that, those two were destroyed. What the hell can you possibly do that would come up with the bad, you know, again, other than now we'll make a planet that will blow things up, right?
Yeah, it's a giant boob.
Exactly.
Like a tit.
Exactly. It's Earth titty.
Commence attack on the space tits.
Go for the nipple. Go for the nipple. Every one of these things got a way to blow them up. So, yeah, I think Adam Driver, I would say he had less to work with. He had less screen time than Rey. And she needed to pull off a difficult thing, too. But I think it's much harder to get the bad guy to have the subtlety that you need, that's the only way you can go is a subtle route as opposed to bigger and badder. You couldn't go bigger and badder than Emperor Palpatine and Darth Vader in the Star Wars universe.
Yeah, I guess the reason I was asking is all of the praise, and deservedly so, to a certain extent at least, has been heaped on Daisy Ridley. Mostly because, speaking to what you were talking about earlier, when they were, I think everyone is just so starved for like a female protagonist that's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And she did great.
Yeah.
But Kylo Ren is a really interesting character. And Adam Driver really brought him to life. It needed an acting performance to carry it, or it would have been really lame.
Mm-hmm.
And he nailed it.
Yeah, killing his dad, that was something else.
Yeah. And I totally saw it coming.
I mean, I spoiled, so...
Did you notice that they... You must have, where the sun goes out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I was like, oh, what a great framing device.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Well done.
Yeah.
It was like the opposite of the end of the movie, which was the worst framing device ever.
God, yeah. You know, we're gonna walk away with a special kind of love for that last scene that I didn't have even coming into this podcast. Yeah. I guess I'm willing to forgive so much that I really haven't thought about it. But you're right, man. That the last scene,
it's so weird.
Yeah,
it's just so abrupt. And then directed by J.J. Abrams. Wait, what?
Well, it hung on him too long. If we get a special,
yes.
You know, now I gotta say, the very first thought that came to mind as soon as that popped up, and I was like, what do I post online on Twitter? And I had a great one, but obviously it's too much of a spoiler that I can't post it. But I really desperately want to post that Han died first. I would be so. I haven't seen anybody post it, but I think that's because everybody's kind of doing
like
1 or 2 month moratorium on spoilers.
Yeah.
But I totally want to get that T-shirt. And I also want a T-shirt that says, "That's not how the Force works." I would love to have that T-shirt too.
He did deliver that line really well too.
Oh my God. It was
just the right amount of old man incredulity.
Right. Oh, exactly. Right. Geezer.
Yeah.
Perfect level of geezer.
Yeah.
And then Chewbacca, I'm cold. Oh. Yeah, that was good stuff. I'm trying to think of other aspects. I don't want to leave anything on the table. There's so much to absorb. I also love the fact, like, oh, hey, did you catch when, and I thought it was really well done, it wasn't too ham-fisted, when Finn was digging for something for the medical equipment.
Yeah.
And he pulled up that ball. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I damn near jumped out of my chair. Yeah. And my wife was like, what? What was it? I just thought that was great.
The chess game still worked, evidently.
Right, right. I don't like the idea that somebody stole the Falcon.
I didn't either. Although, that flight, that escape sequence where she's having to learn how to fly the damn thing on the fly.
Oh.
Which also is very Skywalkerian, by the way.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
All good with mechanical stuff. Mm, yeah.
Great pilot.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, do you think Rey's going to go bad and Kylo Ren is ultimately redeemed?
Rey will go bad?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't think so.
Okay. I just... Part of me wants to think that they're going to try and be more creative and, you know, throw us in directions that haven't been done before. Because otherwise you can see it's like, all right, this is going to be Rey being trained. And I can see that, and I'd be totally fine with that movie.
There's just so little we know about Supreme Leader Snoke at this point that it's hard to even posit where they're going.
Or the Knights of Ren. What the hell that is.
He has two cryptic lines that are very interesting. One, the one I mentioned that I didn't catch the first time, and then climax of the film.
Which was the one?
The fact that it's that the Knights of Ren is an entity.
Right, yeah.
But he's like, you know, collect Kylo Ren, it's time to complete his training.
Yeah.
What the fuck does that mean?
No idea. Yeah. And bring him to me. Interesting. Because another rumor that was going around I went cold turkey about a month before the movie where I just didn't find out anything. But
okay.
But the about a month before the movie, one of the last big things that I had heard was that Snoke was a Force ghost. In fact, my younger brother was convinced that he was Plagueis. If you remember from the one before Palpatine. And my brother was convinced that it was a Force ghost of Plagueis, and that was the rumor. And there are still folks that leaked that stuff. It's pretty interesting because if you didn't like the fact that they one-upped with the Death Planet, Starkiller Base, there are those that the big rumor was that was wrong, but the people are saying that it was changed in the last hour, was that the Resistance had also built a super weapon. And that was another reason why Leia was not part of the Republic, was because they went and tried to one-up the Death Star 2, and that they were going to use that super weapon on the Starkiller base.
Interesting.
It was this some kind of planetary slingshot device of some kind.
That's a good change.
That's what I thought. I thought the way they did it, I would rather have it mimic the old Star Wars with the trench run and
just
bombing.
Go in its asshole and shoot some proton torpedoes in there.
Yeah, that, and I like the fact that it didn't make Leia seem more of a warmonger, because I think if she'd have built her own Death Star or something like it, that would have grayed some areas that probably...
Yeah, I enjoyed General Organa, not so much Lady Vader.
Right. You know that's what they called her in the books.
I sure do.
Okay, good
deal. I read the Zahn novels.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Yeah. Oh, when he yells out Ben, I had no idea what the name was.
Yeah.
I kind of suspected that Kylo Ren would be a son or Luke's son. I didn't know which. Just the fact that I knew Adam Driver was doing it, I thought Adam Driver kind of looks like Harrison Ford because their faces are just a little bit alike. Mm-hmm. So I suspected it, but I didn't know. But I sure as hell didn't know the name was going to be Ben. I thought that was great.
But he's got Carrie Fisher's coloration.
Yeah. And I like to think
but
that...
It's the emo thing.
Yeah.
He does it so well.
you could also understand that they used Ben, but you would think Luke would be the one that would name his son Ben. It's probably because Luke had a daughter.
That's the original, right? There's that, but that's the original canon, wasn't it? Ben Skywalker.
Right. Ben Skywalker and Jason.
In the EU.
Yeah. So some folks are still online are still because now once I went cold turkey, man. My brother was sending me stuff, like huge spoiler stuff, the week before the movie. I had to cut him off cold turkey because I didn't want to see any of it. And fortunately, I didn't see any of the spoiler stuff till afterwards. But I'll be damned if it took me the second viewing to pick up on all the Obi-Wan talk and the Yoda talk. That one slipped by me the first movie. I heard him, but I didn't really key on who it was. I knew it. I honestly thought that... the person pulling Rey's arm was Max von Sydow's character, which I thought would have been interesting, but it wasn't because somebody got a screen capture. You can find it online. It's a big fat arm, which makes you think it's the
Porkins.
No,
I'm right with you, Red Six.
Jesus, Porkins is back, and he's raising,
and he's a Sith Lord.
I'm
hey, they never found his body. That's always bothered me.
That's right. When they're sifting through the footage of the Death Star, never did they find Porkins's fat, riddled carcass. He made it.
That's a relief, frankly.
I can't remember the name of the. I love the. Some of those character designs were awesome. Those red hooded bad guys that came onto the ship with Han, they're the Guavian Enforcers. First of all, I like that name, Guavian Enforcers.
It sounds delicious.
That's fucking cool. It sounds very Spanish.
Yeah,
I am the Guavian Enforcer, and they had a big black.
You're like some cheese with that.
Yeah. Oh, and the practical effects. Dude,
thank God! Yes, let's talk about that for a minute.
Oh, first of all, the Jakku, all the things that are going on in the background there wasn't too much of it, and it wasn't like Jawas swinging from the top of a Ronto or whatever the fucking thing it was. It wasn't overbearing.
No,
that stuff was nailed. But when they opened the door to Maz Kanata's joint.
Mm-hmm.
And that music that was being played and everything and what you saw in there, hot dog, man, they nailed that part too. I thought that all of those things looked incredibly interesting.
Yeah, you need sets. If The Force Awakens proved anything, sets are good. If you need a green screen behind it, that's fine. But for God's sakes,
yeah.
And then it's the best lightsaber duel ever because they weren't wire fooling or CGI fooling all over the damn screen.
Right. They're actually taking chops at each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, when Ray got the tree.
Single tree, there was some deforestation going on
in
there.
I know, man. I loved it. I was just sitting there going, hell yes.
Yeah.
And when she pulled that lightsaber into her hand and we went past Ray and landed in her hand, the part that I will remember until my dying day was the look on my daughter's face. Because that was the moment.
I bet.
My daughter, who, again, is too cool for school, and at 7, and she's just, her arms are just, yes, and just,
yeah.
I just could send a love letter to J.J. Abrams for making that shot happen like that. That was just perfect. And Ray killed it. That was awesome. That was a really good lightsaber battle, all of what they were doing.
Yeah.
It came off. What they did was they gave those lightsabers more weight.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like they're just swirling them around at 1,000 miles an hour like they're an ounce. It's more like the original trilogy where they were.
Yes. You know. I said it, you know, it was the best duel. It's not. The best one still, as far as I'm concerned, is Luke and Darth in Empire. But it's probably the second best one.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I agree. That was really damn good.
Mm-hmm.
I liked, the shot where they say it's the Resistance and you look out over the water and you see the spray.
Coming yeah.
That was nice, awesome too, man.
Did you notice that the blasters, like, apparently generate force now? There were stormtroopers flying everywhere when they got shot.
Well, mostly it was when Chewbacca's bowcaster was hitting him. Man,
sure.
And I thought it was pretty, I mean, so I think they did that intentionally with that bowcaster, because they're knocking sons of bitches loopy with that thing.
Yeah.
And then Chewbacca shoots Kylo Ren with it. And you got to imagine that Kylo Ren wasn't always bad, and Chewie probably loved that kid, not as much as Han, but probably was real close with him at some point. And for him to just cut loose and shoot and hit Kylo Ren, and it didn't knock him back, hit him on the side. Oh, that brings me to an excellent spot. When Kylo Ren was fighting with Rey and Finn, and he's hitting his side for the pain, to get the pain so he could focus on his rage and fury and pain.
Yeah.
Oh, baby. And I was just...
Oh, I didn't realize that's what it was. But that makes sense now. It makes total sense. I remember thinking that was weird. I couldn't figure out what they were going for there. And I appreciate you actually just walking me, holding my hand and walking me through it.
That was good. I was just, but there's half of me that's watching this, less than half, because most of me is enjoying it. But there's half of me that's angry for the last decade and a half of failure that we got that could have been like this. But the thought then occurred to me, George Lucas ain't going to live forever. And I wouldn't be surprised if once he does pass away, that they wouldn't make special editions or outright remake the original trilogy, the prequel.
Oh, wow. I had never considered that. That'd be awesome.
I hadn't until I was driving home from this movie and I was angry about how bad the prequels were. And I thought, well, shit, you really could just say, okay, well, that was George Lucas.
They should. There is a good story there.
Absolutely.
He just didn't pull it off.
No, he didn't tell it, and they didn't act it, and it just wasn't there. I mean, I wiped the slate clean and redo it, forget all that. And you want to talk about, man, that'd be spectacular.
Yeah.
I would love they did that. But I think now we're talking about probably after, if you do 7, 8, and 9, all right, here's a question. Are they going to stop at 9?
I think so.
Really?
I do. Well, at least within, the Skywalker legacy. Disney's gonna ride from that money train forever.
Yeah, what do you think they'll do?
No idea. But we have precedence for this. You saw the trailer for it in front of Star Wars. Harry Potter is done, but the Wizarding World ain't.
I saw all the trailers before Star Wars, so
it was like 20 of them. Oh my god!
If there's a trailer out, it was in front of that fucking movie. My kid, my youngest or my middle son was about to fall asleep after all the trailers because we'd been in there for 45 minutes waiting on the movie.
Oh my god!
A lot of fucking trailers. But you're right. Harry Potter is a good example. Yeah. Well, I mean,
yeah, I suspect 9 will be the end of the Skywalker family story. At least I hope so, because otherwise it starts getting really weird.
Yeah. Well.
Great great grandfather, give me the strength to be evil. That doesn't work. Luke's hand will now have completely fallen off.
Grandma failed.
It's just a can opener.
Yeah.
And he's cackling madly.
at that point,
he's like Yoda old by the time things over.
Right. Right. They could pull that off, but I don't know.
You know, one of the ballsiest things, and I keep I've been meaning to bring this up this whole conversation, and we just keep going on to a different tangent. It's pretty how ballsy it was to have Lupita Nyong'o, one of the world's most beautiful women, and they're like, "No, we're just going to use your voice."
Well, I mean, they used her. They used her body and actions too. In the outfit or whatever. You're right.
But, you know what I'm saying, though?
Yeah, oh, definitely.
You're gonna be Girl Yoda with big librarian glasses.
I will say this: nice. They were one neck extension away from me thinking that that was a ET.
Right. Yeah.
Because she was very close, but the eyes were too small. Mm. But when I first saw it, I was like, "Son of a bitch, is that an ET?" Like, no way. I know they had the ETs in the prequels, but I didn't think they'd be so crazy as to make an ET a main character like that. But I loved that little character, and I'm glad she survived. That was good. That was really good.
She was great. Mm-hmm. So where would you rank it within the saga thus far?
I would go 5, 7, 4. So second place.
Wow, really?
Yep. Yep. They had a lot stacked against them. Particularly the whole thought of how do you go with a big bad again. Now.
Yeah, he looks like he's a really intriguing antagonist.
But there's different ways of talking about it, though. Because you can talk about it like, well, what's this movie's significance as a story in this moment in time versus like the original Star Wars? None of them will ever have the impact of the original Star Wars.
No.
I mean, that's like a separate question almost, though. In terms of just sitting down and if I'm going to pick out my DVD sets, which or Blu-ray or whatever, probably 4K. If I'm gonna pick out which one to watch is like my favorite, I think I would do Empire Strikes Back and then this. I really liked it that much.
Yeah.
Now, that being said, it's kind of like Lost. You can have a great setup, but to see how the rest of the guys play with your toys. So I'm encouraged that Rian Johnson's the one to direct.
What the hell is he from?
Shit.
Why do I know him? Oh, you don't know either. Shit.
No, not off the top of my head. I knew it at one point. Looper.
Oh. Interesting. Okay. That's a good movie.
Yeah.
Is that it? But I mean, Josh Trank made Chronicle, which was a good movie, and that thing which we will never speak of again happened.
Yeah, Looper was his last movie.
Hmm. Okay.
I think he did some earlier stuff. I think his first one was called Evil Demon Golf Ball from Hell.
I don't know if you're making that up or not.
No, I couldn't make that up. That's straight off Wikipedia. It's a short film, though. So you wouldn't have to commit too much time to it. And he made a movie called Brick. I've never heard of that, but it won a bunch of awards. Then he made a movie called The Brothers Bloom, and then Looper. So son of a bitch, he did Looper, and then landed Star Wars Episode fucking 8.
Yeah.
I am one Looper away from being able to direct Star Wars Episode 9.
Yeah.
That gives me hope.
Abrams has been has been pushing for the director of Selma to be allowed to do one.
The lady, right?
Yes, and I hate that I don't know her name. But apparently she's a huge genre fiction fan. And talented as well, so.
Yeah, I would love that. Ava DuVernay.
There you go.
I would be ecstatic. I would love that.
Yeah.
Hell, the way they've structured it so far. I'm really interested now, because everybody gets so much enjoyment out of it, me included. But all the supplemental stuff, the comics, the books, and all that, what are they going to be allowed to play with? Because that's going to be really interesting. We're now in an era kind of like when I was a kid, when we had Star Wars and Empire wasn't out yet. But a lot more scrutiny and attention on it. You know, Marvel could really just make money rabbits in Star Wars, you know, and sell it as Star Wars and make money. But now you really can't do that. And so what they are allowed to touch and what they aren't allowed to touch is going to be really interesting. Just, you know, being a comic fan.
That's something we'll see addressed in 2016, I would imagine.
Yeah.
You know, Marvel being a subsidiary, one of the billions of subsidized or subsidy companies of Disney. So,
oh man, yeah. Did you see that today on ESPN there was a Sports Center special, the Star Wars Sports Center special?
No, no, I didn't.
I was just like, isn't ESPN owned by Disney?
Yes.
Yeah, so I knew why, but I didn't know what the hell. I was wondering if anybody watched it. Because that's, what the hell did they tie sports into with Star Wars? I want to find out. Other than just interviewing every sports person alive to talk about it.
Crazy. Yeah, I don't know. I think it's just more focus they can put on it.
Okay. Well, I think we have plumbed as much as I could think of about the movie. Sure I'm forgetting something. I'm going to kick myself that I didn't bring it up. What about you?
I feel pretty good about this as a review. I got to everything I wanted to. Like I said, the Lupita thing I kept trying to mention, and I kept forgetting to do so. But, yeah, no, I guess as a summarizing thought, I really did like it. I didn't love it. I'm going to be honest. It's not the best movie I've seen this year. It's the second best movie I've seen this year. And I would not put it on par with the original trilogy. I think it is a step below them.
I think it's below Return of the Jedi?
I do, because Return of the Jedi had to stick the landing at the time for the whole damn saga. And having watched it again recently, I feel like it does it pretty damn well.
Yeah, but man, the middle third of that movie just falls apart for me.
It's slow, but there's not that much of it.
That's fair.
Because at the time, it's the first we get to see of the Emperor.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And the last third of the movie is great, and the first third of the movie is...
And then we have that all those bombs dropped by Yoda as he dies.
Yeah, yeah. But to me, it just drags. That middle third.
Yeah. I've heard that. Jedi is my least favorite of the original three.
Yeah, it's pretty everybody's opinion.
Yeah.
But to me, this one was good enough.
Seven's very good. Like I said, it's got some parts where it's like, you need to go faster here. And then it's got parts where it's like, whoa, slow down. Who's doing what now? and then there's that end is so bizarrely abrupt that it's hard for me to give it like a real ringing endorsement, but that's I did true. Like it.
Yeah, that the ending is
yeah, it's just so weird.
It is, but I guess at the end of the day, I'd rather, that's about 3 minutes that should have been 1 minute.
Yeah. I mean, I would never end a podcast with me holding a a remote control to you just wordlessly.
While a camera flies, a little drone flies a circle around us.
Yes.
As we stare at each other.
Yeah.
Far
and I, you know, I walked up 1,000 steps, and I'm not out of breath. I'm fine. I think I'm completely okay. I'm hale and hearty.
And here I am standing up at the top, peeing on a rock.
Yeah.
I turn around, and I don't say a word to you.
And half your prosthetic hand is gone, and you're fine with that.
Right. The look on his face. You know, it's... there's a part of me that wants to like read into it, like, no, I don't want to get anywhere into this again, that kind of thing. I want to read into that.
Yeah.
There's a part of me that's looking at it going, he looks constipated. Just this. I'm not a good enough actor to make that face, but it's
it's an audio podcast. You're covered.
That's right. That's right. But yeah, I guess constipation would certainly, you know, I've been up on top of this island for too long.
What I thought he was going for was like trying some emotion creeping through that Jedi impassivity that they're known for.
Yeah.
And as a result, we're not supposed to know what that is. Okay. I'm sure the first act of Episode 8 will deal with it.
Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely. I sure hope so.
Otherwise, it's going to be that opening troll is going to be like Luke Skywalker has disappeared again.
Yeah. Yeah,
General Organa is really mad that we lost him again.
R2 went to sleep again.
The geriatric droid, man. He's 60 years old.
I did love that 3PO, that the second that 3PO woke R2 up, R2 insulted him and 3PO bitch slapped him. That was also a really funny scene.
I liked that there was very little 3PO.
Oh, it was perfect amount.
Yes. Yeah. He's fine, and I enjoy him as comic relief in the originals, but goddamn, uh-huh. The prequels, it's like, what? No. Darth Vader did not build him. This is ridiculous.
Yeah. It's so funny, though, that in a review of this movie, the prequels just inevitably are the weight in the room that anybody that's talking about this can't help but talk about the fuckery that was the prequels.
Yeah.
You can't. And to me, that's what makes this one so good, because it, you know, even more, or it was probably in the same boat that Empire Strikes Back was in. Empire Strikes Back, you're starting behind the eight ball. You just had a world-changing film come out. How in the hell do you speak to that? Here, you have a world-changing series that just got shat on, where everybody just hates it. You know, and you know, on all the diehards are like, it is good, it can be good, but we've been brutalized, and it's like, oh, that's what I was going to say. This is what I was going to say. It was like, I came out of the movie feeling like a foster child that finally got a good home. Like, I was born into a happy family, and then they died. And then I went to a horrible family, and they beat the shit out of me. And then I went to another family, and they didn't beat the shit out of me.
His escalation is going to a dark place.
Yes, exactly. Third one, it was bad, but, you know, I could deal with it. And then finally, fourth family, number seven, I come, and here it is. It's Christmas time.
Oh, my God, the babysitter's hot.
I'm not going to be beaten no more.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. I'm not going to be beat anymore. But and so now it's this moment of there's a little bit of trepidation, because they had to get J.J. fucking Abrams to do that. Yeah. And he nailed it. Now, can anybody else?
And so I think so.
I don't know. I really don't know.
Is Kasdan still writing it?
I don't know. Okay. I haven't heard that.
Okay.
If he is, I'll be
ecstatic. I mean, they must have. They've started shooting the motherfucker.
I don't know. I've heard it's Rian Johnson's script.
Interesting. Okay.
But I've seen a picture of the script.
Well, as you said, they gave him a lot to work from.
That's true. And
that, you know, that's one of the things this one does really well. It created so many interesting things to ponder for 2 years.
Right. And it didn't.
God, it's only two. I couldn't do three.
Wait a minute. Is it just 2 years until?
Yeah. Eight? Yeah. Summer 2018.
I didn't know that.
Or 2017, excuse me.
Oh, you know, between this and Marvel, Jesus, yeah. I need to be investing in Disney right now.
Yeah. Yeah, you do.
Although the problem I have is that, you know, I keep on waiting for that one movie that's going to break this incredible streak that we're in, you know, where we've just got so many good Marvel stories, and, you know, goddamn X-Men Apocalypse. God damn it.
I know, but save that. We'll do that in the next episode. I was just gritting my teeth and just shaking my head, just like, God damn it.
I know, it's coming. It's coming. I'm just like, is this the one that's going to break it? But another part of me...
No, it is. It's broken. You can tell. Like, the trailer is supposed to be the best part of the movie.
I know. We just need to have the X-Men get bad. And it's almost like, so that way we can bring it back to Marvel and it'll be good again. And they'll start making X-Men comics again. And things like
that. We as fans have to stop going to the movies.
Mm-hmm. Now, they might have done it with X-Men Apocalypse.
I'm not going to go see that thing.
Our next podcast, we need to hit on a lot of other things.
Well, I think the next one, we'll recap 2015. We'll look ahead to 2016, and the apocalypse will surely be there.
Yeah. And Doomsday.
Yeah. Well, I'm now suddenly frightened about next year. And Leonardo DiCaprio is coming out of his own grave. And that's like the first week. It gets worse from there.
It's literally where 2016 is going to start. All right, you got to holster that one. Delete that from this podcast.
Leo, all right.
That's too good. 2016, the year of the apocalypse. And the resurrection of Leonardo DiCaprio. Not in that order.
He's back and he's bearded and he's angry.
I'm going to beat up a bear. Oh, I am saddened that I'm not going to be able to see The Hateful Eight with you. That
looks like fun.
I really don't know. I might have to go by myself. I'm going to take a picture of myself alone in the theater, like on a Tuesday afternoon at 3 o'clock, just me and The Hateful Eight. All right.
Real quick, and then we'll close it down. Any thoughts? Any guesses as to who Benicio del Toro might be in this new movie?
Wait a minute. In what new movie?
Episode 8.
Bullshit. He's in it?
Yeah. And I'm pretty sure that as part of the press release, he's listed as an antagonist.
Well, obviously, he's Boba Fett's son. Or Boba Fett.
Jojo Fett? Oh, shit.
Jojo Fett. No, I said Boba Fett, but I like Jojo Fett better. Go, Jojo! Yeah, I got that Sarlacc pit.
I just ruined the movie for everybody 2 years in advance. God, I really hope I wasn't lying about the release date. I thought it was only 2 years.
Hang on.
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been another episode of Full of Sound and Fury podcast. I have no idea how long it's been because I haven't edited it yet, but I'm pretty sure we've been going for over an hour. I'm Cyrus Mortazavi. As I stated at the top. Oh, say again.
I think it's been two.
May 2017?
Yeah. May 2017. May?
Yeah.
So they're going back to May?
Yeah.
That's even better.
Yeah, it is.
So, we're going to have to wait 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
A year and a half, baby.
Yeah.
Oh,
this is why it's good that Disney is owning it, because they're so profit motivated.
Oh.
It's going to be all Star Wars all the time.
That's fine with me. If they need more people, we'll all come and help out. Would you accept minimum wage to work on a Star Wars movie?
Yeah.
I would too. I would put my family in ruins to work on a Star Wars movie.
Because honestly, if you're the poor guy in a Star Wars film, you end up being like the leader. You end up being the hero of the story.
Yeah, that, and you get to go to
Comic-Con. Ben was a custodian. And as we said, we've got three Jedis in a row that were slaves. What do you do? I'm a water farmer.
And the first
one, I lift water into rocks and sand and other things.
Yeah, the first one that wasn't a slave is born famous. You know, he feels tempted by the good side. I feel the light. It's pulling me.
I don't like it.
This has been the Sound and Fury podcast.
Oh, yeah.
You're right.
Yes. Keyshawn Xavier, thanks for being here.
Darkness. Black magic. Evil.
This and previous episodes of Full of Sound and Fury podcast can be listened to at fullofsoundandfury.com or via subscription to iTunes. This has been a Rise Again production 2015.
Oh, hell yeah.